Welcome to Camping Out, a podcast about interesting people, stories, adventures, and their impact in the world, usually through the lens of outdoor adventure. I'm Dan Camp, and tonight we are sitting around the fire with me. Heading into 2021, I thought it would be fun to give you a brief look into my background and what led me to start the Camping Out podcast. I've always been someone who's loved being outdoors, but my journey to get to where I am today has really shaped my passion in introducing others to the wonderful rewards that nature holds. From growing up, going on adventures with my dad and my brother, to playing sports and the unique lessons there, to eventually getting my first seasonal job as a whitewater rafting guide, every single step along the way has brought us to here. So right now, I'd like to invite you to grab your campfire beverage of choice, pull up a chair, and listen to my story and why the Camping Out podcast was created. Welcome to tonight's episode of Camping Out. I'm Dan Camp, and tonight we are talking to, well, me. It's just me tonight. I am going over my history, my background, and what has led me to the point where I decided to start doing a podcast and why I focus on the things that I do. Getting outside was always something that was important to me, and that's because it was important to my dad. My dad, Mark, made it something that we definitely focused on as kids to get outside, and I think after talking to him about it a little bit, it was for a couple reasons. One, he enjoyed doing those things. He enjoyed fishing and camping and hiking and just generally spending time in the woods or on the water, and he wanted to do those things with both myself and then my younger brother, Jack. So we found ourselves at quite a young age, actually, camping and fishing and hiking and identifying different plants and bugs and birds and all sorts of beautiful things that encompass being outside and being immersed in nature. I grew up in a small town outside of Springfield, Illinois, so Rochester, Illinois. And for those of you who know the topography of Illinois itself, you would probably refer to me as a flatlander. That is right. There's no mountains in the Midwest, and it is definitely, bean fields and cornfields in most places. So very flat, nothing compared to, like the Grand Tetons or, the Blue Ridge Mountains. But it was beautiful in its own right. And I think as a kid, I didn't really know the difference. Your world is pretty small at that point. So we got to go to these different places, and I can think of a couple off the top of my head. We had this awesome state park called Siloam Springs that I cried every time my dad and I left after a weekend of camping. We had this beautiful parcel that we called the Timber or the Farm that was my dad's buddy's dad's place that we were fortunate enough to slay crappie all day and hike and just really enjoy poker games and cooking around the campfire with my dad and his buddies that I'll never forget. And then one was actually my dad's friend's Greg's property. We'd go and we would cut firewood during the day, and then he had a couple acres there, so we'd meander around, my brother and I, once we were done working and get to explore. So as a kid, I had these cool, interesting places to go, even living and growing up, somewhere in the central Illinois. Now, when I was gearing up for my fifth birthday, my dad and I actually got to go on this really grand adventure where we planned a trip from central Illinois up and around Lake Michigan through the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and then back down through Wisconsin to Illinois. And the adventure that we had there and the things we got to do, getting so worn out that we'd pretty much throw the tent up and pass out. And my dad would stay up some nights and, have a beer or two by the fire while I was just sawing logs in the tent and going to the Sioux Locks and Sleeping Bear Dunes and seeing all these cool, amazing places, Mackinac Island. It kind of, as a kid, your world is small, like I said. So I kind of had this feeling that everybody did what we were doing and everybody got to go out and do these cool things with their dad and to adventure was part of life. It was something that everybody was out doing. You know, as a kid, you just think that everybody is kind of doing the same thing. And when I reflect back on my my younger self, I see that there was a constant theme of going out and having fun and just being joyous. And a lot of that happened in outdoor recreation. So I think I kind of combined that in my head, my young head, that outdoor, having fun, family, friends meant joy. And that's something that kind of transcended all the way into the present here. A lot of my life between high school and throughout college, my time was consumed almost entirely by football, which taught me a lot about leadership, working within a team, how to inspire others, and how to pick yourself up off the ground when things are getting tough. My high school career was incredibly successful. We were state champions. We had the greatest group of guys that you could ever imagine. We had amazing coaches, all the way from our head coach through our assistant coaches. Everybody who was a part of the program was just so invested. It was one of those, you know, small towns where everything shuts down on Fridays. Everybody's at the football game. I mean, football is life for a lot of people in that town. So that was my high school career. Take that, and then I go to play Division II football at Quincy University in Quincy, Illinois. And we had one winning season in my 4 years there. So I started 4 years. I was a captain for three. And it was very humbling. It was very humbling to come into a team that the year before had gone 0-11. And as a freshman starting the very first game of the year, you know, I kind of had a chip on my shoulder. And I thought to myself, I don't lose football games. This team isn't going to lose football games. And we won a really tight one on our opening night. So I was still feeling good. Now, I'll never forget the next week we went and traveled to play against Marion University in Indiana. And I learned real quick that I do lose football games. And not everybody, you can't expect to win them all. And we lost that game 55-0. And that was the beginning of a big, big learning curve for me. How to lose and how to do it gracefully and how to, you know, take a lesson from that loss and pick yourself back up and as a leader, inspire your team to get back at it and to fight and to play the next week with that same chip on your shoulder as you had when you were winning those football games. Now, when I look back at my years playing football, and some people might that aren't really into team sports might see this as trivial, but I look back at those years I spent playing football, and I really see them as some of my most formative moments in my life. I learned about how to win and how to lose, but really importantly, I learned how to handle people and how to lead and how to take advice from the really, really good mentors I had. I had some really amazing coaches and some really amazing friends and older players that I really looked up to that put me on the path to be great. And then I also had, specifically in college, some coaches that were terrible and some coaches that I couldn't even tell if they cared I was there. So I learned a lot about how to handle those kind of people as well. And then the importance of forming relationships is definitely something that stuck with me. And I think, you know, looking at my life now, valuing relationships and valuing leadership and being able to step into situations with optimism has been a really core tenet of who I've become and why I've been so comfortable stepping from field to field and place to place like I have. So this kind of takes us to the lead up of my introduction to outdoor recreation. I was graduating from college with a degree in history and a degree in biology. And initially my thought was I would get a job as an interpretational park ranger with the National Park Service. You know, the guy who's out there with binoculars telling you that there's a grizzly bear hanging out in the meadow, or maybe he's standing in the woods and telling you about the different ferns that are growing and why they're there. The person that is interacting with people and teaching with nature as the classroom. Well, as I went to apply for these jobs, I found myself feeling a little bit disenfranchised because the process, one, was absolutely terribly boring government applications. So doing those over and over again was just mind-numbing. And then two, I think I've always been a confident person, but I was applying for jobs that maybe I wasn't truly qualified for, but I felt, man, I felt it in my soul that I was qualified for these jobs. So mix those two things together. I'm starting to get frustrated. Graduation's coming up. I don't know what I'm going to be doing next. And I had a conversation with my dad, and I voiced my frustration. You know, Dad, I'm not getting a job. What am I going to do? This is the field. This is why I took these classes. This is why I went to school. What am I going to do? And he was very optimistic. He said, Dan, we can find something right now for you to do to take a step in the right direction. And maybe it's not something that you'll do forever, but maybe you share your love for being outdoors in a different way. And he told me a story about when he went rafting on the Pigeon River, and the guide, as they were floating through, pointed to his hammock on the side of the river and was like, hey, that's where I live all summer. My dad's like, do you think you could do that? And I said, hell yeah, I could do that. That sounds awesome. I mean, my dad just told me I could go be a river guide. You know, it still blows my mind that that was the advice that I got. I'm so, so grateful for it. But sure enough, I started Googling around and searching how to become a whitewater rafting guide, you know, cool outdoor whitewater jobs. And I found a website called coolworks.com. And this is my plug for those guys. Incredible program of getting people into seasonal work. If you're looking to get into seasonal work, check out coolworks.com. They are so, so awesome. But I got on there and I knew that I wanted to guide the biggest whitewater that I could, but I had no guiding experience. So I knew that was going to be a limiting factor. But sure enough, I find Wildman Adventure Resort in northeastern Wisconsin, and they're advertising there's up to class 4 whitewater. Now, the classification of whitewater goes from 1 to 6. You don't touch 6. Not a whole lot of class 5s are commercially ran. So class 4 is pretty damn big. And I'm like, no way, because right there on their job description, it says no experience required. I'm like, sign me up for this. I dropped in my resume. I got to meet the owners, Ken and Tracy, via a video chat. And shortly after that, they offered me a position. And I took it and I ran with it. Now, a little side story, which is kind of funny looking back. I didn't really know how to buy the equipment to be a whitewater rafting guide. So I showed up and I had a wave runner PFD on, like a wakeboarding PFD. And you know, water shoes from Kohl's and a bunch of things. I didn't understand what I was getting myself into at all. But I showed up, you know, thinking I was prepared, only to learn that you don't wear a wakeboarding PFD when you're whitewater rafting. So I showed up, kind of had an idea of what I thought it was going to be, and I don't think in a million years I could have imagined where starting my time in seasonal work would have taken me. So I worked my first full season at Wildman Adventure Resort, and in a nutshell, it's 9 different outdoor activities. It's lodging. It's one of the most magical places in the world. 2 locations. All the guides, anybody that's worked seasonal work at something like this, they know, you know, all the guides are living on site. You've got this like hippie commune going on where you finish your day of work and then you cook together, you hang out together, you party together, and you wake up and do the all over again the next day. And being where they are, Wildman just keeps getting bigger and bigger and more successful. They're pulling from several different major metropolitan areas. So on the daily, in my raft, I'd have people from the Twin Cities, Chicago. I'd have people from Madison and Milwaukee. And then on certain days, I'd have people from Texas or people from India, people from Florida, people from Germany, all over the place. And I found myself just falling in love with the idea that I was getting paid pretty decent money to sit in the back of a rubber raft and talk to these incredibly interesting people and then tackle, you know, up to class 4 whitewater with them, spend a couple hours together, laugh at the pictures in the bar afterwards, and then wake up and do it again the next day. It blew my mind that this was something that you could do. Unfortunately, whitewater seasons don't typically go year-round here in North America, so as the season was beginning to shake out, I was looking for my next step. And you might be thinking to yourself, okay, going back into the world of interpretation possibly. But I hopped right back on CoolWorks and I started looking at jobs down south. And I found a job with a company called Sure Adventures for Justin and Ali Sure. And it was ecotourism in the Everglades, living in the Everglades, and guiding anywhere from a 3-hour to an overnight tour in Everglades National Park and Big Cypress National Preserve, as well as the 10,000 Islands. And again, I put in my resume. I got to interview with Justin, and he used to be a whitewater rafting guide out east, like on the Gauley River. Lots of big water stuff, and he enjoyed that I had done whitewater, had it on my resume, and we clicked immediately. So I moved down there in October of 2015, and there I lived for the entire winter, meeting people from all over the world who had come to vacation in the Everglades and decided that airboats and the gator zoos wasn't their thing. They'd much rather see it from a kayak and, you know, be from an arm's reach away from 8-foot alligators and to see blooming orchids and the myriad of diversity and plant life and birds and mammals. There's bears and panthers and deer all in the Everglades. That's how I spent my days teaching and enjoying these outdoor spaces with people who really, really, really were interested in them. And I found myself pinching myself again, like, did you know this world existed? Do other people know that this world of seasonal work exists? It was mind-blowing. It was intensely satisfying. And I every day, even on the hardest, longest days of work, I felt extremely, extremely fulfilled. To make a long story short, once I was done working in the Everglades, much to my parents' disdain, I decided to head up for a second season at Wildman Adventure Resort, and I stayed there for almost 5 more years. I worked my way from being just a guide to working in the office and then eventually to the operations manager of the company. And in these 5 years, I got to learn about the world and about myself in ways that I didn't fully expect. For starters, in the winter, I lived by myself in a cabin that primarily was heated by a wood stove, and the cabin was very large. And I learned, you know, you got to wake up every 2 hours sometimes to keep your fire stoked. Otherwise, you wake up and can see your breath. You know, like little things like that. I learned how to be wrong and how to adjust my mindset and how to change my opinion on things and to formulate maybe my own opinion on certain things for the first time. I learned the power of embracing solitude and being alone in nature and getting outside during the winter. And then in the summers, I learned how to love and I learned how to celebrate people and I learned how to celebrate every day. And I learned about the immense humbling power that the river holds over everybody who decides they want to step into it. I learned how to work with people. I learned how to lead coworkers. I learned how to bring happiness and joy and smiles and endless amounts of laughter into people's lives. I felt heartbreaks. I felt connections. I felt everything that you would hope to feel in your human life to remind you that you are alive. It chokes me up a little bit talking about it. It was just the most beautiful, magical, special moments and place that I could have ever hoped to be at. And where I stand today, I have no doubt that you know, my years at Wildman and the winter I worked for Justin and Allie have shaped me into the person I am here and are the core motivators in why I decided to start the Camping Out podcast. So I know what you're thinking. What a great segue into why camping out with Dan Camp became a real thing. So as I was leaving the world of outdoor recreation as far as being as hands-on as I had been in the past and taking a job that was still involved in outdoor recreation but a little bit more hands-off, I found myself, you know, pondering and thinking about all those important special moments that I had and shared with people. And then I started thinking to myself, there's so many people like me who feel the same way as me who have amazing stories to tell. And I know a lot of people who want to hear those kinds of stories. And so I began to put together an idea of a podcast that highlights not only outdoor recreation and going outside, but the amazing people who get to be a part of that. And in a world where we're constantly consuming content of perfect lives and Instagram travel and, you know, private islands in Bali and unzipping your tent to be in the Grand Canyon, like all these grandiose visions that are crammed down your Instagram feeds every day, I thought it'd be really, really neat to create a program that was much like sitting down next to a fire with friends and family and listening to people tell their own stories. And thus, Camping Out was born. I will tell you guys how the name came about. I actually put it out on Instagram that I was looking to name a podcast, and an old college football friend of mine, Cody Wood, said, Camping Out with Dan Camp, or something along those lines. And I was like, that is absolutely genius. Why did I not think of that first? And everything started to grow from there. Now, I'm a little bit of a closet perfectionist when it comes to creative projects, and I kind of had my feet in the sand, stuck in the mud on putting this together. It's something I wanted to do for a while. And I listened to a podcast, and the whole premise was that if you wait till it's perfect, you're going to be waiting forever. So I decided to contact a couple buddies that I knew would be interesting first guests on the show, both Brock Fisher and Nick Roberts, and I decided to just run with it and figure it out as I went. And that's kind of what happened, and the rest is history. So when I was drafting up a vision of what I expected the podcast to look like, I dug into the things that were most important to me, and I tried to find, you know, similar podcasts to what I'd want to do. And I really couldn't find anything that combined the realms of personal storytelling, outdoor recreation, the benefits of being in nature, and having a growth mindset, and you know, wanting to make the world a better place, and having goals, and consciously getting better and better every day. I wanted to combine all of those ideas and thoughts into one podcast. And that's what I seek to do as I ask different guests to be on the show, and I look for different inspirations for each episode of Camping Out. At the end of the day, when you guys listen to an episode of the podcast, I want you to feel those same emotions, that you're being connected to the person who is speaking to you, that you're learning something, that maybe a belief that you have held for so long is being challenged and you've got to go research it yourself. I want to create content to bring a smile to your face and to make you want to go outdoors and to experience some of these same feelings for yourself. I also want to inspire you to know that it doesn't have to be a Grand Canyon through hike. It doesn't have to be dropping Class 5 whitewater. You don't have to jump out of an airplane or even leave your neighborhood to have an adventure. Our motto here at Camping Out is adventure comes to those who go. And I could not be more stoked on a motto. I swear, it came to me in like a fever dream, but it was so perfect. Adventure comes to those who go. Adventure doesn't come to those who wait. Adventure doesn't come to those who sit around thinking that maybe one day adventure is going to come and grab them by the hand and pull them out the door. No, adventure comes to those who go, those who seek it. Now, what is an adventure? An adventure is any experience that pulls you a little bit away from that comfort zone. It could be taking a walk around the local park. It could be challenging yourself to learn 5 to 10 different bird songs and identifying them on a hike through the woods. If you are someone who is an adrenaline junkie, adventure might be taking on Class 5 Whitewater. It might be climbing a 514. It might be going out there and jumping out of the airplane. So adventure comes in many forms, but adventure comes to those who go. So as you take an hour out of your day to listen to myself and some other wanderlust amazing person in this beautiful world who is seeking adventure, I want to say thank you. But I also want to say, go out there and create an adventure of your own. And then tell me about it. Share it with your friends and your family and help other people find that inspiration to take that step for themselves. And that's that for this episode of Camping Out. I hope you enjoyed getting to hear some of my backstory leading up to the creation of this podcast. As I look towards 2021, I am grateful for those who spend some time with me every week around the fire. Connections, relationships, and adventures are all a priority in 2021. How will you cultivate your own? If you enjoyed this episode, please give it a share on your preferred form of social media and tag me. I love seeing the people that enjoy the podcast share it out and share what they enjoyed about those episodes. If you haven't already, head over to the Apple Podcast app and leave a 5-star review and tell me what you liked about the podcast. If you have some suggestions on topics or people that you think that I should talk to, please reach out, whether it be on Instagram or at dancamp.net or just at campingoutwithdan@gmail.com. Reach out, let me know what you guys would like to hear about, and I can help create that kind of content. Now, I'll see you guys next week, and remember, adventure comes to those who go.